Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Normally when Chloe says, do you want to look at this? It's always a fucking trap. It's like a trap. So if you look at it and you go, quaw, look at the state of that. And then you have to go, oh no, that female, I thought that's lovely. I really think she's lovely. And do you know what? I'm sure she's
her
great to go for a drink
epic.
With. You're epic. I'm sure, do you know what the best thing about it is her personality? And in fact, we could probably have a good chat. What a way to start this week's podcast, Couples Quarantine. I'm James Haskell.
I'm Chloe Madeley.
And with her very own cock mug, as she said, what a guest we've got is Emma Sale. Now, before Emma speaks, I'm going to introduce her.
Don't speak,
right. In 2005, there was nowhere women could go to feel in control and explore their sexuality in a safe environment. Could have come around to my house. Anyway, so Emma created Killing Kittens. Over the past 15 years, KK has grown into a fierce army of over 180,000 sexually liberated people around the world, brought together through events hosted from London to New York, Venice to Sydney, and over the past 5 years, through Killing Kittens' expanding digital platforms, the popular press regularly pronounces Emma a leader in female sexual liberation and empowerment. Emma started Killing Kittens, she wanted to create a brand that stood for women and what they wanted. Greater awareness of female sexuality and sexual freedom was slowly becoming more socially and commercially acceptable, but there was still a long way to go in the industry that claimed to be for women, but ran almost exclusively run by men. Ladies and gentlemen, Emma Flippin' Sale.
Okay, so I'm going to jump in before Emma does actually introduce herself in her own words and say that James introduced me to Emma when we first met, really, like 5.5 years ago. And Emma and I got on like a house on fire because I would go as far as to say I think we're both feminists in a very new age way. Mm-hmm. If you couldn't tell by this podcast, I am more than happy to talk about things honestly and openly, which I think is quite a new wave feature of feminism, and I absolutely love her, and I've done some of her sister events, which Emma I'll let you talk about, and they're really inspiring and enlightening if you're a woman. So Emma, do you want to just introduce yourself to our audience and say who you are and what you do and how you know James and I?
I don't know. I think James is like reading practice there. Said it. Very good reading. Very good reading.
Thank you.
Very good.
Nothing like condescended by a couple of feminists on my own fucking podcast. Excellent.
Founded KK 15 years ago. Just felt it was a very unbalanced world that we live in. And, you know, men could sleep around and have one night stands and were sort of patted on the back and, you know, absolute legends. But women, we even had, you know, even to talk about sex was sort of, you know, slut shamed and everything like that. And I just thought this isn't right. But Sex and the City had come out and Summers and Sex Stories had sort of hit the high streets. And I just wanted to create a world where, with women at the core, where they felt safe and a community with like-minded people so they could actually talk about everything without being judged, because a lot of women don't feel they can speak to their friends about stuff or you know, that they're without judgment. So that's how it started, and from day one there was always a sort of a bit of an online community that went on, and then 5 years ago we realized that it was 50% of our revenue was online, 50% was offline. So we've spent the last 4 years building what we launched last week, which is the world's first adult social network. So I think Bumble meets Facebook with loads of sex ed on top, and an app goes live next week in iOS and then 2 weeks later Android. So yeah, it's been fun. A lockdown's been fun, you know.
Yeah.
We were gradually getting into 100%, you know, or 80-90% digital. Yeah, and also we realized, you know, we went straight within 5 days of lockdown into online house parties, and we were moving all our workshops online, virtual anyway, beforehand. But what's been amazing is we're going to keep it all. So it's sort of, to us, it's so obvious. And the online house parties and meeting like Insta live chats every Wednesday with experts, experts and psychologists and
why haven't I had not what be hosting anything? I haven't had any calls about delivering.
Yeah, James wants tits on Zoom now.
No. I just meant you want a sex expert. Why have I not been on there broadcasting for the masses? No interest in that.
I think Chloe will come on.
Ah, how dare you. So just to clear up a couple of things, right? So firstly, essentially what you're saying is because we're going to come on to why we've got you on here. I mean, I've known you for 15 years, Emma. I used to go to school with your brother. You've actually known me longer than that when I was, you know, in small shorts. Teeny. I mean, yeah, teeny, still 6 foot, lunking around, gangly arms. I've grown into my face, which is great. I saw photos of what I used to look like when you knew me, and I thought I was hot shit. And honest to God, I looked like a sort of a Picasso or a modern art masterpiece put together by somebody with no eyes, which was bad. But I think
you
looked
like what's the artist called? Modigliani.
A Modigliani, yeah. I was like completely moulded into together.
James has gotten so much better with age. Anyway, Karen.
And so basically you're saying that you wanted to set something up because essentially men label women a slut, but a slut is a woman with the morals of a man, essentially. So men are liberated, free to do what they want to do. You know, we go and sleep around, we're absolute lads, high-fiving. Women do that and they're labelled with derogatory terms. So you wanted to create something that was that women would be able to be free and express themselves because Chloe assures me this, and we've had many an argument, and that's the point of couples quarantines to get to the bottom, conclude some conclusions, is that actually women have needs, women have wants, that women have huge sexual appetites just like men, and for a long time they've kind of been repressed a little bit, and men
because
have that exclusivity.
Sex is, you know, sex is another thing. You know, we live in a very man's world where there's an amazing book called Invisible Women. You'd love it, sorry. But where when you look around, everything has been made by men with for men. Yeah. And that includes sex. You know, sex, you know, when I think of sex, you think of a penis and a vagina, and the end point is the man coming. You know what I mean? We've had that.
Well, if you're an amateur, I mean, I think about the fanny coming 3 or 4 times and then the penis going
sure,
off. But,
of course you do, James.
Jesus, it's not a PR platform for the penis.
No, I'm just telling you the truth. And you should be my hype woman.
We all love you, Haskell. We all love you.
Really.
But no, so it's just kind of that initial, that's what sex is. It's a very man, you know, it's a very man's view of it. And what's happened, especially with like 50 Shades of Grey and everything Me Too in the last 5 years, is this explosion of, you know, 3,000 shades of sex. Women are complicated creatures. So if you put that into sex as well, it means it's not as simple and black and white as sex to men. Honestly, it's a minefield, and there's so much that can be explored, and our biggest sex organ is the brain. So, you know, it's just been this explosion in the last 5 years of, well, what is women's sexuality, and what every day's different, to be honest. You know that. I'm different every week on what I want sexually. So
I tend to find as well, like, I do like this, like, some men's podcasts, like Russell Cain's Boys Don't Cry and things like that, because I think, you know, I was raised to be, and I'm really lucky enough that I went to a school where I was taught to be very honest and frank about everything, really. And that's how I've kind of always been, and they kind of asked me on, and a lot of the time, even when they're really trying to do women like a good service, it's still very much like, well, men think this, what do women think? And even James said it at the beginning of our first episode of Couples Quarantine. He was like, I'm siding with men and Chloe's siding with women. And I was like, you know that there's a huge gray area of emotion and want and desire and fear in between, into which all human beings, male or female, regardless of gender, fall. And I definitely have had like periods in my relationship with James where I've wanted, you know, the kind of archetypal, more kind of romantic sexual relationship. And then I've had times in my relationship with James where I've wanted something a little bit more left of field. I can't speak for you. I think you're more of a left of field guy, Emma, as I'm sure you know. I can't speak for you, but I don't think that that's reflecting of me being
though.
I don't think it's reflective of me being a woman. I think it's just reflective of sexuality.
Yeah. That's what I always say. People, you know, there was this whole thing about the future's female, and I always said, no, it's not. The future's human. And it had the last couple of years, again, you've got this whole gender fluidity, and it's a whole sexual scale. So you can't go, well, you know, women want this and men want that. It's a massive psychological part, and a secure man and an insecure man want completely different things. You know, ego stroked, or if they're insecure, or other, you know, and it's the same with women. It's sort of, it's depending on our headspaces. We'll dictate what, and that's why I say, well, you mentioned, you touched on Sister, which is, you know, the business we launched last year, which is sort of helping out professional women and finding mentors and that. But it, people say, well, it's very different businesses. I'm like, it's not. It's got the same thing at the core. It's empowering women to be their most confident, because it goes, I think sexual confidence goes hand in hand with business confidence.
And that's why you had Sarah from Agent Provocateur, right? She's, am I right in saying, the creative director? And she was fantastic. She basically like sings from the exact same hymn sheet as Emma, and she's amazing. And she was just kind of standing up, like, I was sick and tired of seeing women in lingerie for men, and they wanted to, she wanted to specifically start a whole kind of PR campaign based on women in lingerie for women, because why would it be for men when it's a female fashion lingerie brand? It didn't make any sense. And anyone who knows anything about Agent Provocateur now will know that their campaigns in the last few years have been so female strength focused in terms of physique, but also in terms of, I mean, everything, kind of every box you can tick. And it's very sexy, probably more sexual than it's ever been. And it's all aimed at women. Have you, I've shown you some of
those. Are those the adverts I'm allowed to watch?
Yeah. Girls squatting in thongs,
Chloe's like this. Because normally when Chloe says, do you want to look at this? It's always a fucking trap. It's like a trap. So if you look at it and you go, quaw, look at the state of that. And then you have to go, oh no, that female, I thought that's lovely. I really think she's lovely. And do you know what? I'm sure she's great to go for a drink with.
You get epic.
Do you know what the best thing about it is? Her personality and the fact we could probably have a good chat. Do you think what you've done, you've achieved your goal? So do you think, or you are somewhere along the line, you know, because I imagine that there's still, because sex is still a massive hang up for people still, you know, in terms of sexuality, in terms of communicating.
Do you know, we've gone a part way. We've set the foundation. So it's been 15 years. It was a good decade of setting the foundation, getting a very loyal tribe, as I call it. And what's happened now with the digital world exploding, and now we've got the platform to go out and fucking dominate, and basically just hit the world running. And to us now, it's normal. Our main aim now is the whole digital world. Our events were fine. We sell out within 24 hours. They're in all the world. They're straightforward. But the digital side of what we're doing is very much to create this movement and this voice, this adult, as I said, social network platform that is, you've got Facebook for family stuff, you've got Instagram, you know, images, you've got LinkedIn for your business, you've got the KK site for your adult life. So the questions on sex and the funny videos and the lingerie shots that you can't put anywhere else. And so what we want to set out now and do is normalize and mainstream the conversation around sex. So I always say, like sitting, chatting, having dinner with you guys or whoever, and you're talking about, a new fitness technique, or I'm trying this new diet. It should be in the same conversation. Oh, I've read about this new position and this new blowjob technique. You should be able just to come out
of your
mouth.
You got your notes on that, Chloe? Just out of interest. I didn't say it was bad. I just said, she said it was a new technique. So I was like, well, I haven't heard about
that.
So
one of the workshops actually is penis massage. We've also got a vulva massage workshop. So yeah.
A vulva massage? Vulva. I thought you said vulva. I thought that was fucking boring. Watching some anorak doing his beige V60. No, a vulva. I know what a vulva is.
What I was going to say was that it's, I completely agree with you. I find it crazy that every single time in my lifetime I've ever done an interview and I've been asked about sex, which I always am, as is James, and I reply honestly, which to me is completely acceptable and normal, it always causes a shit stir, either on social media or in the press. And it's probably all just very silly sensationalism and very human behavior to be like, oh, you know, taboo, and there people make a big deal out of it. But it's really interesting. We did an interview with, and we talked, we again, referenced this in the first episode, fabulous magazine. And they asked us, she, you know, Beth, who was the journalist who I've known for years and years and years, asked me, how often do you have sex? Is it every day? And I said, well, yeah, that's kind of normal for us. At that point in our relationship, it very much was. And I said, yeah, that's normal for us. The next thing I knew, it was the headline. It went everywhere and James got dropped from Land Rover. And James said to them, I don't understand. You just not think that people have sex. I don't, this makes no sense to me. And they were like, our buyers don't want to talk about it, don't want to hear about it. Like, we can't have you as part of the team anymore. And I was like ashamed of them. I was not ashamed of myself.
It says more of them. Yeah, it says more about them.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I find it so interesting. Have you found, do you feel like with kind of the Killing Kittens kind of growth, which has been fantastic, and also with the Me Too movement, have you found this to kind of dissipate, or do you still find that you come up against hurdles like that?
No, it's still massive. I don't know whether you may have seen it in the last like month. So we've gone down the government funding route, which is a government-backed loan that you have to raise a certain amount and they will match what you raise. And anyway, so we got it. And oh my God, the outcry, they had war with Sarah Champion, the MP, Labour MP, who the irony is, she was before she was sacked from it, the Women's Inequality Shadow Minister.
How
basically
funny.
Who petitioned Parliament to not give us the loan. And you just think, but then yesterday I noticed she's tweeting about how more needs to be done on menopause education. And I'm thinking, it's the same thing. You know what I mean? Yeah. You can't, women's sexuality and hormones, and it all goes hand in hand. So you can't.
Yeah. You can't pick and choose what we are and aren't allowed to be upfront about.
But no,
I can talk about my period, but we can't talk about sex. It doesn't make any sense.
The backlash on that. And honestly, I had a lot of, the Twitter stuff was just awful.
This is why I came off Twitter, though, because it's just, I feel like it's just anything that people can be outraged about on Twitter, they are outraged about. But this is the debate I have with my mum a lot. She comes from that age of feminism where it's like women finally had the chance to be taken seriously. But I come from an era of feminism where it's like, it's our choice.
Yeah.
You know, whatever we want to do. And unfortunately, it shouldn't be about what we have to do to be taken seriously. Why can't I wear a suit in the day, be bloody successful at my job, and then go out, go to Killing Kittens at night? And why do I lose respect? I mean, it makes...
Or post a picture in your lingerie. It's like, wearing it. And I had this argument. I started arguing with him, then I just thought, I'm wasting my breath.
Yeah, but what I don't get is, though... sorry to interrupt you. What I don't get with all this stuff is that... humans like to distance themselves from carnal instincts and the very fact we're put on this earth. So I know on a base level, people, you know, we're here to recreate, move on, you know, sow our seed and carry on. Obviously, we do a lot more than that. But it does strike me that a lot of these MPs, a lot of these people, they shy away from this, but they're the first ones caught with their knob in something or doing bits and pieces.
Because they're human.
But yeah, but that's what I mean. Is that I can't understand it, why you deny it. Yes, listen, you know, sometimes... seeing, you know, graphic things is not necessarily what you need in your daytime, but only up and saying I have sex. So with the, you know, the Land Rover thing, for example, you know, they basically after 21 years, sorry, after almost 13 years, they just binned me off over email because my wife said we have sex every day. And you know, their argument
was...
But
I didn't even say that, but it wouldn't have mattered if I had.
You know, and they ran with it and said that Land Rover drivers, the Range Rover drivers don't have sex. Well, I've had a Range Rover and I'm always shagging my wife, obviously.
In the Range Rover.
great. Not in a sport, though.
You need it back. I don't need it, and I'm not cleaning it.
You need the Vogue.
All over the wheel.
I do find it very difficult, though, to that people try to hide behind this. And I think the whole idea of being couples quarantine, you know, first episode, we covered some of the bits and pieces, the problems we faced. The second one was we talked about a very taboo subject when you're in an early days of a relationship, going to the bathroom, which we probably want to apologise because that was quite intense.
It was a bit much.
But with you, you know, we wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, what actually happens at Killing Kittens Park, because for some people, they might not be familiar with it. Obviously, we talked about your, you know, trying to liberate women sexually, and I think that's really important. And I do think that if people weren't so stuck up, you wouldn't see so many scandals. And if people are honest, I think it's down to men in particular, and this is something I will agree with, that men lie all the time, and men make such a difficult thing instead of putting their hands up and saying, but like, you know, Tiger Woods, for all of his faults, if someone had said, listen, one of his agents said, listen, Tiger, it hasn't escaped my knowledge that you're drilling everything that moves, you could still be number one in the world, but maybe perhaps don't get married yet if you can't have that on lockdown. And nobody's got a problem with it if you are yourself. It's when you pretend and you get caught, which I think
it's like
wrong.
A lot of the footballers, I remember hearing that, you know, a lot of them, you probably know, sportsmen, you know, are encouraged to get married younger and be in serious relationships because it looks better and it looks, you know, why a lot of them are married when they're 21, 22, 23, because the image looks better.
Yeah.
But yet, then what comes out is you get the Roonies and the one, you know, left, right and center, and other ones who they couldn't, you know, their image couldn't be worse, and they're not showing any respect for women.
Just tell people what Killing Kittens Party is, and I want to hear about this online stuff as well, how that's manifested.
So, I mean, they will turn into, there's an element of, you know, when you see the label sex parties and orgies, there is, it is that. You know, it's
well, thanks so much, Emma Sale, for coming on Couples Quarantine.
Bosh. Yeah. People have sex. The rules we have is that every man that comes along has to be accompanied by a woman. So we don't let groups of single men in. And then once at the event, men can't do the approaching. They have to wait for the women to do the approaching. And then we have different entertainment. So we have like burlesque, cabaret acts, oyster shucker, champagne or cocktail reception. So it's like a big house. I say it's like a big house party where the wheels come off. And if you wander around the upstairs, then you'll walk into rooms where there might be 50 people all in their candlelit room, all having sex in some form. But you get the different, you get couples who just stick together, who, the ones that don't take their clothes off, they just come for the atmosphere. You get ones that, it's for voyeur, they like performing, but again, they stay together. You get the ones that the girl and the couple's bisexual, bi-curious, so it's all about having that threesome and having other women involved. And then you get the ones who just sort of, the real hedonistic ones have just sort of, get stuck in, and there's like Dante's Inferno of limbs everywhere. Yeah. Who's attached to who?
If you go into the wrong room.
Yeah, and then groups of girls that come along, because there's a big sort of rise. Because women are, I've already said it for 15 years, and I remember at the start, girls going, no, we're not. And then you'd have a few drinks, and they go, oh, I wonder what it's like to kiss a girl. So women are naturally bi-curious. It's a fact. There's a 1 to 7 Kinsey sexual scale, and women are 3, 4, 5. So yeah. It's why we're more touchy-feely, and we check other women walking down the street out faster than men do. We are on it.
Yeah. James thinks it's
well,
a trap.
I'll challenge you on that one, mate.
I've said to James so many times, if I see a woman and I'm like, wow, look at her, that is not a trap. I say to him that when I get irritated with you is when I realise that you've just nearly crashed the car with me in it because she was staring at some girl's tits. Then I get angry. But he doesn't understand this nuance. But I completely agree. I find that... That is just, absolutely fascinating.
This is Couples Quarantine. This is Couples Quarantine.
Okay, so thank you for summing that up. And this actually brings me to one of the questions which I wrote out for you. Tell me what your view is on monogamy and open relationships. Do you think they work as a blanket rule? Do you think they don't work as a blanket rule? Or do you think it's highly subjective?
Well, I courtship? Personally, I think it's totally subjective. I think there's amazing open relationships. There's amazing, some of the most secure couples I know and have ever met in my life are KK couples. Mm. But then you get, you know, monogamy, and this is the thing. It's kind of
ready to pop the question. The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Kind of within monogamous relationships, often that societal kind of, oh, you have to be together and you can't, like, well, when I mentioned the footballers and stuff, it's okay for them to go and, you know, go out one night and sleep around, or for city boys to shag their PA, that's socially acceptable, and cheat, but then have someone being polyamorous or open relationship is kind of frowned upon and seen as weird. So to me it comes down to communication from minute one. And I think everything, and I've said it about it, and in lockdown, it will make, it's forced people, couples, to communicate and actually look at each other and have proper conversations when it comes to sex, because you're not going anywhere. And you can't escape. You can't run away from an argument because you're not allowed really outside your front door. So what we've noticed in the last 5 months, we've had a lot more couples sign up who have said they would never have signed up before, but they've just started talking in lockdown and going, do you know what? This is actually something I was thought about, and it'd be fun even just to try a workshop or just to explore our sex lives together and try new things and see what's out there. And not necessarily in, you know, to go and shag other people, but just it comes down to communication. So I don't think there's no right or wrong to it, or which one's better. If you're not communicating and if you're not being honest with yourself and each other, then you're not in the right relationship, really.
I agree.
Have you seen it go wrong on those situations where couples have gone, listen, I'm keen for this, turn up to a party and you know, someone started doing something, someone's freaked out?
Do you know what, where I've seen it a few people like that is they've had a few drinks, and where it tends to be the person freaking out is normally the man. They want the girl, their other half, to be more exploratory and find themselves sexually, but then when it happens, then they feel threatened and think, shit, she's going to leave me.
Yeah.
So you've got this kind of, and I'm like, well, surely you'd want, if you're with a secure female who's completely empowered in their sexuality, then they'll be totally open to trying new things.
What kind of sex do people have at the, you know, is it like a porn set, you know what I mean? Or is it kind of passionate lovemaking? Because I think I'd be a little bit startled if I took Chloe there and she went all evil angel set up on there, start shocking a few people.
It's a mix. It's a mix, because you do get couples there who are just sticking together and they're doing it as an extension of their sex lives and to explore something together and do something, you know, within their relationship. And then you get ones who literally it's that, right, I'm just want a good shagging tonight. On all levels, and you get them, you know, the girls coming out and wearing their best lingerie and strutting around and just owning it.
And just taking it.
It's a good mix of it.
And obviously, you're there's things like no cameras, no nothing. It's all very, you know, very private and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, no, we have a strict no phone rule. And we have security walking around, and we've got a hostess as well. We've got KK, like, comms, which we call the community kittens. Who wander around the events and stuff. So it's all very, it's quite self-policing as well. So members will come up very quickly and report if they've seen something.
Good. God, the security guards must feel like they hit the jackpot. Like, one night they're just checking over the ATM on Oxford Street, and the next night they're at KK party looking at some 10
How do you apply
10?
For that job out of interest, hypothetically? would a washed up rugby player who does the odd podcast qualify? Excuse me, madam. Can you put your fanny back in?
We've had a couple of rugby players.
Have you?
Involved in the staffing, but the problem was, quite in the early days, the problem was I'd come in and realise that there were no bar staff.
I wonder who that was. I wonder who that would have been. What, two really good looking rugby players at the time, were they?
They might have been Harlequins, to be honest.
Those Harlequin boys, they're filthy, them fuckers. Not like Wasp boys, they'd never do something
it's
like
gotta
that.
It's got to be the Cornish Pirates.
What? Yeah, Cornish Pirates.
it's so weird because it's almost like you would expect them to have a reputation for taking barmaids home.
Yeah, I don't. But I mean, again, this is not a world that I ventured into, hypothetically. But one thing I want to say, how are the virtual events? What's happened with them then?
Zoom, and we limit the screens, I think about 60 screens, so that could be 100, 120 people if there's a couple in the screen. Then we have three of our event staff in there. It's a two-hour thing. The first hour is sort of icebreaker games and from spin the bottle to various games that you can play within the chat and move the technology around. And then we have some of our KK Cabaret acts performing, so the screen will suddenly become full of a
tits and ass.
But then at the same time, you've got people within their screens who are on their beds, and they join the event already in their lingerie or already naked. And so by the second hour, you've just got loads of screens of people all shagging. We do girls only ones as well, which are hilarious. There's a lot of dildos involved. on that.
Oh my god. I'm sorry, I don't mean to offend any of the men out there, but I bet those are the best ones.
Well, I tell you what, the best thing is probably just send us the link next time. I'll vet it and we'll just make sure that it's all okay, because I want to make sure that, you know, it's a fair representation. Do you I'm gonna have to go and have a lie down. So, but you found that people still get the same benefit out of those, and I really enjoyed that liberation. So it's almost double the safety, so they're involved but they're not, you know.
Yeah, you know, I mean, nothing will ever replace that actual human contact. No amount of AR, you know, virtual worlds can ever do that. They can make all the robots they want, but that human interaction, the physical interaction, the energy you get from just being in the room, same room as people, you're never gonna recreate that ever. No. Nothing will ever recreate that, because we're animals at the end of the day.
What I've always wanted to know is, do you vet people?
Do you know, it's not, it has got this, people think, oh, it's really exclusive and you know, only really good looking people, but it's not at all. It's totally accommodating. Everyone, to come to the events, you have to sign up to the site. And you just have to, you have to show you're a real person. So we are sort of, you know, the photos of holding up something written, or doing, you know, touching your nose, touching your ear, a bit like some dating sites do that. I know Bumble does that. And then everyone can come into the Kittens World, which is the big social network, and they can do that side of it. But to actually come to the full-on, and you can come to all the workshop side of it like that, but to actually come to the full-on Killing Kittens parties, you then have to enter another world called the Kittens Association, which is girls only. So even if you're in a couple, it's the wife or girlfriend, the girl in the couple that is the member. You have to submit your reasons for joining and what it means to you. And it's that we will take on whether you're in or out. So it's your mentality and the reasons why you want to join. Is the main bit.
Thank God that it's the women's side of that, because it may be like, I'd like to see some boobies sent. You're not allowed in. Right, okay.
How did James ever get in? That's why I feel like you're not.
I didn't go. There was another really.
Sorry. It's really dark at the parties, Chloe. I've got.
I just turned up with an anorak and a pair of smoke tinted glasses. Can I come in, please?
I mean, I've had some amazing stories, but.
About what? I've never been to a Killing Kittens party.
No, okay. I think there was another very big one who someone said it's like a Maxi Muscle advert.
Maybe
it was Charlie Hunnam.
That's in your book, isn't it? That there's a comment about an Olympian and a Maxi Muscle man in your book, is it? What's the book called again?
Behind the Mask.
Do people just presume that you have the most lit sex life in the world? Yeah.
Do you know what they do? And then I'm like, I have 3 kids under 6. two dogs, nothing private. I shut the door downstairs and one of them's managed to open that door, the dog, and be out here. And especially in lockdown, I mean, do you know, when you try and grab those 5 minutes, because you never know if a child's going to come up the stairs because they're having a nightmare or something. And I'll share one. We tried to grab a few minutes and then James lost it laughing because the puppy had jumped on the bed and was licking his arsehole. So it's like, and the mojo had gone.
Well and truly died.
Oh, my. And
that's my life. That's
God.
My
life. But at what breed of dog was that, out of interest? I'm asking for a friend.
Here he is. Cocker Spaniel.
Oh, God. Oh. Cocker Spaniel. Right. Emma, thank you so much for that. That was incredible. Now, we've got the whole idea between Couples Quarantine is we get our listeners who, unbelievably, after 2 episodes, we seem to have some, which is quite nice, even about the poo episode, which was Chloe shocked her. And I'm Henry really Cavill, actually, he even listens as well, which is great. Give him a shout out.
We like Henry Cavill. He's another one at my brother's school. You started with my brother and Henry ended with him.
So if you want to send your questions, send them to cqquestions@jameshaskell.org. First question we've got is, I work at home and I've done for a long time. It's lovely having my wife home during quarantine. Obviously, we're out of that now, but people are working from home more. But whereas before she sent me little text messages that I could ignore until I had a chance to reply, she'll now walk in and break my groove, which makes me get a bit snippy. Have you guys had this? And if so, what do you do to deal with it? Emma, we'll address that to you to start with.
Yeah, do you know what? We, as I said just now, with the kids involved as well, I got snippy and you can feel, I'm a space person. I'm like a caged animal. I like my freedom. I'll go away on a plane at least once a month. I am used to having the house to myself because I work from home a bit and not have the kids there. And but what we did, we just got into a rhythm of one of us each morning. As soon as you woke up, one of us would go out for an hour and So walk the dogs, the next person have mindfulness, we're into our mindfulness, next person, you know, and then I'd do it the next day. And kind of it was that being aware, and I would just take myself off. So I would take myself off maybe with one of the kids to play football outside, or say I'm going to walk to the shop or cycle to the shop. So it was just that sort of, we got into the rhythm of sort of orbiting around in different spaces and not on top of each other.
Yeah, because do you think though, because this is again, I don't really call sexist, but especially by you two ladies, it was, you know, do you think that when a man, I don't reply to one of Chloe's messages, it's potential that I might be not interested, not listening, not showing her attention. But if she texts me and I don't, or I text her and she doesn't reply, I don't really give a shit. It's because I don't put that attach much feeling to it. Do you find that's a dynamic sometimes in relationships? But you sound to be quite liberated. So does your husband freak out when he's like, I've texted Emma three times and she doesn't reply? No, she doesn't love me anymore.
It's funny, and I thought it was, but actually you've just said it the opposite way around, because I thought it might, because my brother does it and my husband does it, in that if I don't reply to a question, like half an hour later I'll get a question mark. or an oi, and it's not them being possessive or cajolery, it's that because they focus in their heads on one thing, it's like they want an answer. It's like, so whereas we're much more, where I think it's more of a female, is that the multitask, you've got thousands of things going on. So I'm the same, I'll just throw a text message out, but it's the awareness of what the other person's doing. So I'm fully aware that he will be at work or he'll be doing something else, so I won't expect an answer. If like 5 hours later and I know he could easily have answered it because he's liked something on Facebook or something, or made a comment on Instagram, then I'm like, answer, please.
I will like message James, and like James won't message back, and I'm like, all right, he's probably really busy, because he is really busy and I'm really busy and I can understand it and it's fine. And then he'll do like 17 back-to-back stories on Instagram being like, the good, the bad, and the rugby is now live. And I'm like, you got my message. You are there. And I'm about to go to the shop and buy you food you want for dinner. So tell me what you want for dinner.
Yeah, but your questions are normally like, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you actually love me? And do you miss me while I'm away? I'm like,
that's absolutely a complete and utter lie.
Don't lie to our listeners.
What are you talking about? Every now and again, I might crawl on you at night and be like, tell me you love me, but that's no.
If I was an animal, what friend animal would you be to really cuddle me?
That absolutely is. Never happened. Just to be clear, this is absolutely a smear campaign.
A smear campaign? It's two
it's
sentences.
It's fake news.
And I actually know where he got this from. We went to Ibiza for my birthday and we met some friends out there who live out there and work out there. And one of them was like, we were all really drunk, obviously, it's Ibiza. She was like, I'm really good at giving you all your animal. And the next day I was like, what's my animal? And James was like, how did you remember that? And now you've just bastardized it to me crawling all over you.
What is your animal?
She had a horse, which is not really a compliment, but I mean, I love horses, so I'll take it.
I was a snail.
Okay,
I'm a wolf. I think that's the same.
Yes!
I'm not a snail, I was a fucking tiger or something.
No, all men think that they're like some kind of...
I was
like
a motherfucking hawk just swooping down and getting shit. Right, read the next question.
I think you'd be a lion, you're a big blonde... bear that doesn't do any of
the I look
work.
Like Silas at the moment from Da Vinci Code.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So, Emma, this is one for you. My partner and I have been together 5 years and our sexual relationship is starting to get quite samey. Without going too above board, not really sure what that means, can you suggest some quick and easy ways for us to spice up our sex life?
Do you know what? The first thing I'd say, communicate and get a bottle of wine. Suggest that you watch some porn. Yes. Yeah, just go, right, let's watch something. Pick something. Both of you pick a category and let's go, right, let's watch a couple of films, a couple of bottles of wine. Just start chatting about things that you've always thought would be fun to try and stuff. And then, and do you know what? I'm not, you know, blowing the KK trumpet, but it is a good place for that, especially at the moment with so much online, because you can sit on your sofa, pay 20 quid to come to some kind of couples workshop, from Shibari rope technique to sensual massage. So there's so many different things we're doing, two or three a week, or the virtual house party on a Friday night, again, 20 quid, and just go, right, fuck it, let's just do something fun. And that's it. So it comes down to, and I say to people expect better sex lives to fall out the sky and land on their heads.
No.
And, you know, I had this conversation with a husband of a friend of mine, and it's like, oh, I just feel like I'm the one, you know, initiating, and she just rolls over. I'm like, well, have you actually taken her out on a date night?
Yeah.
Because I tell you what, I say that to James. It's like, I can be in, you know, knackered mom, businesswoman mode. You take me out for dinner in 2 hours and I will come back wife mode,
gagging,
and you're guaranteed, you are guaranteed to get sex. It's a very easy process, but it just takes awareness and a little bit of effort.
I completely agree with that. I think, A, the first thing Emma said about now is the perfect time if they're doing so much stuff online, because it means that you can venture into it in a very kind of separate way, so that it's less intimidating if you're brand spanking new to it. And I also completely agree. I found this in all of my relationships, always. Men seem to think that sex is very much like at the drop of a hat, you fuck, you're done, it's great, everything's great. And it's like, actually, exactly what we've been saying throughout the start, all the way up to, you know, the end of this episode. Women, I'm sorry, but sometimes we need our engines warmed up a bit. Like, taking your partner out for a nice meal, having a really nice bottle of wine, telling her she looks beautiful, holding her hand, kissing her before you even leave the restaurant, before you get in the taxi to go home. These things will guarantee you sex. Like, make a bit of an effort. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Then just accept that we are,
you look beautiful.
<Get fucked.
laughs> It is. It's so, and the other thing is it's like sexual currency. See, it's sexual currency. Is texting or messages. So
agreed.
See, it's basically you're paying them a pound. You're paying them. So just sent during the day, whether you're with each other now, some people are back at work, but you could be in the next room, just send a kiss emoji. Nothing, you know,
powerful
sexting, but just go, or when you walk through the room, if your wife or a partner walks through the room, just send her a text going, your bum looks great in those trousers.
100%.
It's little things.
It's quite clever.
As I said, women's brains need to be turned on. And that's by making us feel confident, making us feel hot, making us feel respected. That's the main one.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a very easy thing to do. Like, making the effort on the date nights, having the conversation, over a bottle of wine, as in let's try what, you know, let's have a laugh and watch some porn. But just sexual currency throughout the day, just these little things, it's easy to do.
I will say to all the men out there,
and you'll get sex at the end of it.
100, like, guaranteed. Like, I've had relationships that were like sexually on fire in the beginning, completely and utterly burn out to the point where, like, I never wanted to have sex with that person anymore. And the reason why is because men, this has happened to me in maybe two or three of my, seven relationships I've been in. I'm 33. I'm obviously a relationship.
I mean, that's the story you're going with.
And I would say, two or three of the relationships I've been in. Men, be very careful. I know that men, I think, obviously men and women both lose their temper. But weirdly, I think men have less boundaries when it comes to when they argue. Be very careful the things you say in arguments and how far you take it, because I guarantee you, the second that your partner, your girlfriend, your wife, whoever it is, starts to feel disrespected or unattractive to you, I guarantee you she'll shut off sexually.
And
completely.
You can never get it back.
You can never get it back.
When it snaps, it's that. And rather than, that's the other thing, where if you don't like the way something's happening in the bedroom, or the way they give a blowjob, or the way a man goes down on you, rather than saying, you're doing it wrong and I don't like that, which immediately will make someone feel shit.
Yeah.
Is just say that's nice, but could you do this?
Could you
try
respectful.
This? Could you start? Yeah, I'd really like it if you did this down there.
So it's, you mean sending a full PowerPoint presentation of where she's gone wrong is
no,
step too far?
No, just say, could you try that? You know, when they're going down on you or something and you're thinking, oh, I don't like that. Rather than go, no, that's wrong, or it's not a freaking doorbell, and the same with nipples, they're not doorbells, you know what I mean?
I know.
They're very sensitive things. Just say, oh, could you try doing that? I'd
this
really
is where 50
like
Shades
it
of Grey fucked us. 50 Shades of Grey did a lot of damage to women's nipples.
I call it 50 Shades of Shit.
Before we end, because we're literally running out of time, for the lads who are struggling with the old going down, relax. There's a fantastic book called She Comes First, which was given to me when I was 21, and
in Vegas.
I've passed it on to
Loo Roll since.
I've passed it on to other teammates and people, and their wives have come up and just gone, Thank you.
I don't think that's
Thank
true.
You. I'm fucking swear sure that was on a lie. My life, Moby. Struck down. I swear on my life. I gave it to a couple of Kiwi teammates in at the Highlanders, and it's true. She comes first. But listen, that's all we've got time for this week.
Emma, I just love you so much. You've got to come back.
Emma, we'll have you back on. If anybody wants to send any questions, and send them to cqquestions@jameshaskell.org. Emma, please tell everyone what you've got, where they can find you. You've got a podcast. You've got, obviously, the website, your social media. Let everyone know where they can find you.
To be honest, if you just search Killing Kittens, it's not hard name to forget. There's not a lot of us out there. That's where, yeah, on Twitter, Instagram, the new site will come up. So it's free to join. So it's like, as I said, social network. So you might as well just sign up to it and have a look around.
I love your social media. I love your Instagram. Don't make the mistake. It's amazing. It either makes me laugh or makes me horny.
I am.
Perfect Instagram account.
That's the thing. That's what we want.
It's 2Ks. I made a mistake of Googling KKK parties. Very fucking don't different atmosphere. No, very. No. Don't go there at all. I actually said when I was doing her email yesterday, I was like, there was a KK. She went, whoa, 2Ks. I was like, sorry.
why Killing Kittens? I've never even thought about this.
Do you know what? It was, I was in Ibiza and hadn't slept for 3 days. And
of course.
Someone had phoned in. It was a wedding and just said, you know, couldn't make the wedding and said, are you guys all just sat around killing kittens at the moment? So we had this whole conversation that it's cyber slang that every time you masturbate, God kills a kitten. So if you're killing a kitten, you're having a wank. And I just went, that's it.
You're a mass murderer, babe. Anyway.
Ibiza nights come to the fore.
I'm Joe Haskell.
I'm Chloe Madeley.
And you've been listening to Couples Quarantine. Thank you so much. Episode 3, you can find it on all your podcast platforms. Is also a YouTube show on our social media at James Haskell,
at Madeley Chloe,
and we'll catch you all soon.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.